Aks.
Hello and welcome to Checkbooks. My guest today, Tomáš Smeškal, stunned the Czech literary world and reading public this autumn with his debut novel, Milosný dopis klinovým písmem, or Love Letter in Cuneiform Script. The book is an unusual kind of love story with a broad historical sweep, covering the post-war period to the 1990s, and it has a very innovative stylistic approach. After almost unbelievably positive reviews, it sold out immediately and went into a second edition, the sort of overnight success and literary sensation most writers must dream about. So my first question was to ask about the story behind his book's publication. Welcome, Tomáš, and I must say that for an overnight success, you actually had quite a long time to wait.
Yes, the book was finished about 4 or 5 years ago, and then I sent it to various Czech publishing houses which deal with the Czech contemporary prose, and there wasn't interest in the book at all. So in the end, a friend of mine took it to Torst publishing house, and they liked it, and they decided to publish it almost immediately.
And thanks mainly to a review by critic Jan Rejšek, who isn't at all known for his kind reviews, maybe. He gave you such an outstanding review, comparing you to great Czech writers like Škovorecký and Hrabal, and also to Salman Rushdie. And this was only part of great critical acclaim. How have you dealt with becoming something of a literary sensation?
Well, I didn't have to deal with it much because, first of all, I didn't know that he had written it, because the friends which I have seem to be very timid and careful people, very polite, and they didn't want to bother me with that review because they saw that I knew about it, but I didn't. So I was quite surprised, and then, of course, Jan Rejšek's review brought a lot of attention from other reviewers, and so far I'm surprised because reviews were very good to very, very good.
The English translation of the book would be Love Letter in Cuneiform Script. Can you summarize the plot?
It's about family. The main characters, Joseph and Květa, his wife, who met before the Second World War. During that time, Czech scholar Bedřich Hrozný deciphered language of Hittites used to write in cuneiform script. So there is a chapter which describes that, and this is where the title comes from.
So the main couple meet at one of the pre-war public lectures Professor Hrozný gave. But then the book is something of a family saga. It almost goes up to the present day.
The book covers a period from end of the Second World War up to 1990s. And there is a kind of obvious kind of love triangle, two men and one woman. Then the couple got married, and their friend, whose love wasn't appreciated, so he joined the communist later, and he used this position in a way to break up that marriage of his former friends, which didn't succeed completely, but it succeeded to a certain extent to embitter their relationship.
And it's written in a very interesting, unusual style or styles. Each chapter has a different tone, different perspective, and you also include visionary chapters in the book too. Could you say a little about this stylistic variety?
Yes, I wasn't interested in writing a novel in this great 18th or 19th century tradition where everything has a proper place and when you can predict what happened in the future. So I changed the styles according to whose eyes the tale is narrated.
One of the many perspectives or viewpoints in the book is actually an Englishman, or at least an Englishman of Czech origin.
Yes, it is. It's George, or Jiří in Czech, is a nephew of someone within the family, and he is of Czech parents but born and brought up in London, and he arrives to Prague and actually got involved in this family story, and he sends letters back home to his sister about Czechs, and he observes the Czech tradition. Some of them seem very funny to him and some of them very absurd. For example, he sends letter describing the Christmas Czech tradition carp killing. He doesn't know anything about it, and one day he gets out of his flat in early December, and suddenly there are all these people in strange clothes with the barrels full of fish, and they are killing these poor animals. So he writes, for example, about this and says, how can they do that, you know, and how can they eat it even after that, you know, and then they all disappear suddenly, and it's written in a kind of like when you have a anthropologist, you know, who came to this kind of strange tribe of different nation, you know.
Yes, I know that can be a very traumatic custom for an outside observer to witness. But Giorgio Ježí is also able to bring a focus on serious aspects of Czech culture and history.
He describes, for example, also exhibitions in Veletržní palác, but the same palace was actually used for deportation of Jewish citizens in the 1940s. And he observes this kind of reverse of fortune, and he actually serves as kind of catalyst of family events. And he doesn't know much what to do with it, but he can observe it and describe it. So he's kind of outsider coming inside, and then he slowly starts to understand.
As you're writing about these relationships between various couples or triangles over such a long period, it certainly must make some observations about the political situation.
Yeah, so some Czech readers ask about the view of Czech political history. I'm personally not really interested in politics as everyday politics. The hero, Joseph, was jailed for about 10 years, but within the book there isn't really described that period, partly because there is a lot of books which describe that already, and partly because if you want to go into that period, one really would have to be very historically precise, and I didn't want to write a historical book.
But I think you've used your own family history to an extent.
From personal point of view, one of my uncles was jailed for about a year. He had a small restaurant in Malá Strana under Prague Castle with his partner. And when the communists got to power, they asked him to voluntarily pass it on to the state. And he refused to do that, so they locked him up for 1 year. Only for 1 year. He wasn't a political prisoner. They let him go, and they said he could be a manager in his own restaurant. And he told me when I was a kid, well, the silver cutlery was already stolen, so they didn't want to do that. But it triggered in his partner some psychological illness, so he actually within a couple of years stopped recognizing family, and so he ended his life in psychiatric hospital. But on the other hand, another uncle was a Communist Party member. He actually joined the Communist Party before the war. So you have this kind of certain personal things there as well. But of course, I was a kid, so you only recognize that when you are older, the tragedies which are under the surface.
The general tone of the book is rather a tragic and sad one.
I suppose so, yes, because that generation, I think, to a certain extent, people still don't know how to deal with them and whether they should recognize their efforts or whether they shouldn't recognize it. There is a big discussion which, in my opinion, doesn't go anywhere. But I don't think that it will ever go really anywhere, because the Czech way how to do things is to forget it.
You spent 10 years in London, and amongst other things, you studied English literature at King's College London and subsequently taught literature at Charles University. To what extent do you think you were influenced by your very profound knowledge of literature in English?
Well, I wasn't aware of this until the reviews started to come up, because it's been probably a lasting influence, so I didn't know that it might be ingrained in my literary views, but it seems that it is. The Czech critics say that, and they are probably right. It has a positive effect, probably, that it made the book richer, but also negative effect, because some Czech editors didn't like it, and they said I should rewrite the book, because it doesn't sound too Czech. Mm. But I studied English literature, and I enjoyed it, and influences would be numerous, from Joseph Conrad, even to medieval literature, because I think that as a writer, I learned most from Chaucer and people like that, because from technical point of view, it's extremely interesting and inspirational.
These chapters and all the different styles, Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, spring to mind.
What is for me interesting is how he framed the narrator, because narrator, even in Canterbury Tales or Troilus and Cressida, he very delicately places himself within the text, which would be boring, I think, to ordinary readers to describe it. It's kind of like really a very technical description, but for writer it's like lesson, and if you learn it, so it enriches you.
You spent virtually the whole of the 90s in London, even though you were visiting the Czech Republic during that period. You moved back home finally in 1999. How was this transition for you between the two cultures?
The transition was very interesting, and it lasted quite a while, because I don't think that I know England or Britain, but I know London, which is kind of a world within the world. If you are a writer, if you are interested in culture, so London is one of the great centers in Europe, so obviously I still miss the exhibitions, theaters, and so on. But at the same time, the English culture is very, very different from Czech culture. Czech culture is much more down-to-earth, I think. to a certain extent. And of course, you can't have two things wider apart than is Czech history and British history, of course. So the cultural traditions and historical traditions are incomparable. So to a certain extent, I miss London, obviously. And to a certain extent, I'm glad that I'm back in Prague because I understand much better the surrounding and the historical context and all these kind of things.
Sorry, I'm fascinated to know that one of the jobs you did in London was as a postman. Did you enjoy such work?
Well, I didn't particularly enjoy it, but you need to get some money. I know which, I think Russian writer said, this is your life's university. So being postman was certainly one of those. And I get to know a bit of London, but not too much because London is such a huge place. So that I don't think that one person can ever say that you know it. But it was good insight in the kind of life of ordinary working class people, which I enjoyed very much.
And do you still like dogs?
Being postman, I think that the English dogs didn't particularly got influenced by the English national character. I suppose they are still vicious as everywhere else.
I'm really pleased that because of this great delay in all of these foolish publishers not publishing your book for 5 years, that you already have a second novel completed, because I think otherwise this great acclaim might have been very inhibiting. Can you tell me something about the book, or at least when you hope it might be published?
Well, since there were positive reviews about this book, so I probably have to have a look once more to the other book which I have written and decide whether there will be any changes or whether I leave it as it is. I don't want to get in great details about it because I don't know how actually I will respond to that.
But you certainly won't have any problem finding a publisher this time.
No, it seems that there won't be any difficulties.
So now we only have to wait for the English translation, and I hope this very great acclaim in the Czech Republic might reach the shores of England and we can look forward to being able to read about this often neglected period in Czech history. Thank you very much for talking about your new book, Tomáš, and I'm delighted that it's had such a positive response.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.